I believe there are two ways to approach our lives. One is looking at it as a series of norms we have to live into and objectives we have to achieve. This view is full of expectations, pressures, bias, and systemic dynamics that continuously need to be overcome. The other is to look at life as a series of choices we make and goals we set for ourselves, a life that is full of agency, growth, and opportunity. Welcome to Live Stoked and Lead Stoked, where we explore both life and work from that latter perspective. I'm your host, Sarah Bettman, coach, consultant, and speaker. More importantly, I'm a fellow traveler on the path towards living my own stoked life, and I'm passionate about helping others do the same. Let's jump into this exploration of life and work and what it means to live and lead stoked. Hello, everyone. It's great to have you here. To be transparent, this is the first recording in my new house, and so if you hear an echo, that is what you're hearing is empty walls, empty floors, and a lot of cardboard boxes everywhere. But the podcast must go on. We just had a bye week, and that is for me to get my sanity and figure out my new orientation. And I have an incredible guest today, Nicole Barham. We met a couple of years ago now at an incredible event called The Most. You've heard a few guests refer to it here. But she is doing the coolest thing in finance, and I'm so excited to have her here because she's going to share her perspectives, which absolutely align, at least in my mind, I'll let her decide in our conversation, with the concept of Live Stoked. So, Nicole, thank you so much for being here and in the middle of tax season.
Yes. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I was just saying that I don't know how we scheduled at tax time, but it's perfect timing.
For some reason, we had to do this today in my echoey office and in the middle of your tax season. So I'm going to start with the question I start with everyone, and that is, what does it mean to you to live stoked? And recognizing that's my word as a California born and raised person, what would be your word for the concept of living stoked, a life of agency and choice despite roles and identities put upon us?
I feel like stoked for me, being a Caribbean girl, is what comes to me, and it's not even Caribbean, it's just joy, right? It's living a joyful life and being intentional about that joy. And so when you say stoked, I'm like, oh, that's me living a everyday joyful life and finding the joy in everything that's happening. Even though life is happening around me, where can I find the joy and where can I focus in on that?
Nice. And do you feel like you come to this concept naturally or something you've had to learn over time?
Oh, goodness. It's something I absolutely had to learn. Had to do some unlearning and then to learn that joy is actually within reach for most of us. I'm not going to, you know, downplay the fact that it's not, you know, within reach for every single person, but just to, because I grew up where we learned about hard work, right? There were a lot of different sayings, and they always talked about working hard, being, you know, just pushing through life. And I have discovered that I don't have to work hard. I can work smart, right? I can live a joyful life while also providing for myself, providing for my family, and not doing this hard work thing that I hear a lot of people talk about, and not delay my joy just because I'm trying to accomplish something at the moment, right? You know how sometimes, you know, people are like, yeah, I'll do that later. I'll have fun later. But right now, I have to, you know, be doing this thing right here that I'm focusing on. And I'm like, why can't we have fun and be joyful while we're focusing on this thing that might even be hard, but finding those joyful moments in that, in the right now.
I love that. And so tell us how you kind of a little bit of your growing up, how you came to be here, and I'll either ask it or you'll naturally go into what you're doing now and some of your philosophies on life joy as an adult now.
Sure. So I just recently, not recently, but a few years since I've moved to the United States. So I'm originally Jamaican and I moved here in my 20s. That was 20 something years ago. I'm aging myself. And I grew up in what people would call now a blue zone. So where I lived, and let me tell you something, I long for that blue zone, especially, you know, what's happening with me now, and we can talk about that later. So I lived in a very rural community that was, we literally, it was the ultimate farm to table lifestyle. So we literally grew what we ate. Everything was organic. Everything was, you know, like right there, right? And I was a country girl through and through. And so we would go outside and pick mangoes, and we would like dig the earth and get yams, and we would pick our own peas, that we plant our own peanuts, all of that. It was a very simple life. We didn't have a lot of money, but we kind of didn't need it. I'm not sure what the adults will say, but as a kid, I was like, we had everything that we wanted, and we only went to the store to buy a few things. I lived a very, very simple life. It was just easy. I played a lot with the neighborhood kids. We came home when it was getting dark. And so life for me as a child was very carefree and very happy, climbing trees, all kinds of stuff. But you know what happens when you're living that life? You always think that the city life is better, or going overseas is better, right? And now I appreciate that life that I lived because I saw it was simple and joyful. Right. And that's, I feel like now and in later years, I kind of went back to my roots where I'm like, oh, so this is what life is really about. Right. This was happiness and this was joy and carefree and not a care in the world kind of thing. Yeah. So then, you know, moved to the bigger city and then, you know, kind of a natural progression, right? Country girl, then moved to the city in Kingston in Jamaica. Went to college, did all the things, right? Did all the things that society said that I should do. Studied hard, went to college, got my degree, got a good job, and thought I was going to be there forever because that's what you do. Work for 40 something years and then retire. I have to tell you though, it was a really great life. I started working for the Jamaican government at a very young age. I was 17 years old, actually.
Wow.
When I started in accounting with the Jamaican government. And in Jamaica, it's kind of the British way of learning and teaching. It was different. So I kind of did like a year of university in high school. And at that time, you could literally leave high school and start working. Cool. And so it was like a serendipitous moment, right? Where someone was like, oh, we're hiring. You should send your resume. Sent my resume, got the interview, got the job. Amazing. And then that was my next progression from the city to now overseas, where I was working with the foreign ministry and then they posted me to New York. So now I'm in the real big city, like the biggest city of them.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so worked for the Jamaican government there. And so that's how I kind of honed my accounting skills. And then later on that developed into 5-minute bookkeeper. But at the time it was like, you know, just coming kind of thinking about my beginnings, very, very humble beginnings, but also thinking about how I've kind of seen it all. And I yearn for that, you know, that blue zone, that humble beginning. But at the same time, I'm finding the joy in where I am at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. The blue zone. It's funny that we have that word now for it, but I dream of building the compound where we grow our own food, where we retire and age together. And that's a concept in the blue zone. I'm like, okay, so I'm not so, you know, innovative after all. But at the same time, I love the picture you painted there. And so tell us about 5-Minute Bookkeeper, because as someone who, and we talked about this before we got on, underneath Live Stoked and Lead Stoked are areas that in my coaching experience are 5 areas that people just don't look. They'll tolerate a lot of mess for a long time to their detriment. So for me, usually my clients come to me because they have a question of their career, maybe their relationship, but money's somewhere in there. And a lot of times it's, I just don't want to look. I don't want to know. At least certainly that was my story. And it's like, I already know.
Yeah.
Like, but once I knew, once I started looking, I could change it. And I think what you're doing with a 5-Minute Bookkeeper is both your approach. One of the things that stood out for me is just the compassion you have for that quality of it, but also simplifying, because boy, do I love to overcomplicate it. So tell us about 5-Minute Bookkeeper, but then I'd love for you to tell about it, because it's not just an accounting tool or thing. Like, the spirit of it, I think, is what draws me to it.
Yeah, for sure. So it's nothing new that we don't want to talk about money and finances. You know, it's a challenge as old as time where, you know, if I don't look, maybe it will go away kind of thing. And apart from that is that a lot of my clients and myself included, and maybe you as well, Sarah, is that you, when you were growing up, the only or the mostly when our parents or adults or anyone spoke about money, it was about the lack of money. So it was always scarcity around money. And so who wants to look at that? Who wants to look at scarcity and who wants to look if they have no money, right? I already know I have an overdraft or I have a low balance in the bank. Like, what am I looking at, right?
Right.
And I was the same way, by the way, right? I was one of those people.
Even with your accounting background?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
So it's not just I feel like it's not a conscious challenge. It's an unconscious one or a subconscious one, right?
Yeah.
And of course I did my employer's accounting and it was amazing. But when it came to myself and my own business, and because I did have a business many years ago that I ended up filing bankruptcy because I was not looking at the numbers and at my accounting. So
Nicole, I did not know this part of your story. And I hate to say it to benefit from your suffering, but it's so validating because the first time I started a business, I haven't podcasted about it yet. I was one phone call away. I just happened to get a Citibank rep who said, oh, one of your expenses is a medical expenses. You qualify for the discounted blah, blah, blah. And that was just enough breathing space for me to start the process and going back up. But I was going to get sued and file bankrupt the next day if that angel had not answered. And there's very few angels in the credit card world. So it is validating that this person that I believe to be the smartest person around finances, or at least one of them, has traveled that path. So no, I guess I'm getting joy in your suffering, but it sure is validating.
Absolutely. And I feel like that is where a lot of the people that I work with, they come from, because they know that there's absolutely no judgment here. And I have no issues saying, oh, you don't have to worry about that. Been there, done that. You know, have the t-shirt. Let's get your finances organized. Let's get you to where you really want to go and not focus on where you've been. So yeah, even though I had all the knowledge, that does not mean it's just about, and I talk about this all the time. Sometimes we know exactly what to do, right? We know exactly what to do. Does that mean we're going to do it? Right?
No, not necessarily.
And that's why a lot of times it's, first of all, making a decision to make a change, right? That's number one. And number two, making it easy. Oh my gosh, Sarah, there's so many, you know, it's 2024. And I cannot believe that we still don't have a simple bookkeeping finance solution. My mind is blown. And that's why 5-Minute Bookkeeper is going to do that. But it's not simple. So think about this. This thing that you do not like to do, you literally feel like you have a visceral reaction when somebody mentions finances and bookkeeping.
Which I do. Right?
And then you get to, you know, this tool or the system or whatever, you spend the money, you get the tool, and you're sitting there like, what the heck is this? You have to be a bookkeeping or an accounting professional to even start to figure this out. And apart from not wanting to do it, and then it being challenging, you're like, I'm not doing it. And you just give up. So apart from the fact that you don't want to look at it, the lack of tools and simple systems is also one of the things.
And I have to say, if I counted how many systems and tools have my data in it, because I feel like I've tried them all and I want it to do something or wrap around my brain. And so I upload, this is going to be the one, this is going to be the one, this is going to be the one. And either my brain isn't wired or it's not giving me the thing I need to see that makes a difference. And I'll give you an example of how I got out of debt. And I think it's very similar to what you're doing, is my sister said, you have a cash problem. You don't have a budgeting problem. You have a cash problem because you are sitting there with $100 of cash and you think you can spend $100, but actually 75 of that is going to your rent. Now, obviously, growing up in the Bay Area, those are not correct numbers, but you get the point, right? And so I found a spreadsheet. I don't know how I found it on Excel that was a calendar. And that I put that $100 in, but then I put all the expenses on the calendar so I could see at the end of the month what I have left of that $100. And it really taught my brain how to be cash-based, which is ultimately my money felt magical. And until I locked it down and I got into looking at it daily and just entering it, it was like, you have to learn. So you have to do this manually. And that yeah. was the lesson. And I've since... I do use, I know you're going to say something. I use QuickBooks for my business, but that's because I'm in a situation where my CPA pays for it. So if she's going to clean me up for taxes, then I'm going to use whatever she tells me to use. Okay. But I don't understand it.
And that's the thing. Like if you, we actually work with some clients that have QuickBooks and they want to keep it for the same thing, their accountant. So we do work in QuickBooks. So we're not knocking it. We're just saying that for somebody who is not an accountant, who doesn't like the numbers, who's not tech savvy, I have a lot of clients who are creatives, who are coaches and consultants. They literally are like, get away from me with these numbers. So having them go into something like a QuickBooks, they are not. And then I have another friend who is a coach. She absolutely loves QuickBooks. She is in there every single day. She says that I tell her that she has QuickBooks with a side of coffee, or coffee with a side of QuickBooks or something like that. So absolutely, if you're willing to learn a system, it doesn't matter what you're using, as long as you're willing to learn and it's easy for you, for your brain, then absolutely go ahead and use it. But there are so many, oh my gosh, Sarah, over the past 3.5 years, I've met over 300 entrepreneurs that we've worked with. And they have said, this is so easy on my brain, so simple. And oh my gosh, why, you know, I wish I had met you earlier, right? So it just depends on, you know, how much time you want to spend doing it and how easy you want it to be.
And so I want to jump in and just say, you know, for those listening and thinking about money and all this, the first commitment is to be willing to look, just look, right? The next is, you know, shortly after is the system or tool that helps you capture what you're looking at, you know, because you can, like you said, you can look at your bank account, you know, if it's overdrawn. So just look, but with a curiosity and a kind of research mind. So what's different about the 5-minute bookkeeping? The person has chosen, okay, I'm going to look. It's easy. It's good on the mind. It's good for creatives. Like what about it do you think differentiates it from the 45,298 other systems that are out there?
I think, and what resonates across all my clients is the simplicity. Something very simple. If you can copy and paste, you can use 5-minute bookkeeper.
Nice.
You don't have to be an accountant. You don't have to be an accounting professional. And so it's just the ease of using it, the simplicity. And one of the other things that we've gotten amazing feedback on is the support that we provide. So a lot of people, no matter, Sarah, if I say to you, this is so easy, it's going to take you 5 minutes a day or 30 minutes a week. If you have this on the subconscious programming going on about finances and money and numbers, it could even take 5 seconds. You'll be like, I'll pass. And so a lot of clients, when we tell them we have the support system in place, they kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Because even though we know it's like real simple, and as soon as they start doing it, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. It's hard to convince them before they actually get in there that it's so easy. And so what we provide is so much support on the back end so that they're like, oh, okay. Oh, you have support? Perfect. I'm in.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the great differentiator for us.
Well, and I just want to acknowledge the support is not tech support, even though it could be the ecosystem within which you do this. And since I've met you, obviously I've followed and social media and seen a number of things that you've put out there. It is that healing place, that values driven place, that no judgment free space. So I just want to make sure for any listeners that are listening, that part that Nicole started with about joy and living from joy and having the kind of space and freedom to live a simple life, if that evokes a calm and a yearning in you, I believe you bring that to your clients.
I do. I actually do that.
Yeah.
They always say to me, for some reason, when I'm talking to you, I feel calmer. I'm like, I have no idea. I've just been doing for years, because you're already coming with all these preconceived notions about money and finances and numbers, and I'm not good at it and I can't do it. And I'm like, oh yeah, you can do it. Let's just go here and just, you know, let's look here and let's click here and copy and paste here. And we're like, oh, we're done. And they're like, what? That's it? And so just having them see their money and their numbers and finances differently, it's been a game changer. Let me tell you, Sarah, my assistant will tell you this, and anybody, the bookkeepers on my team will tell you this. Every single day, I try to find the easiest way to do everything. The fastest way, the easiest way, the simplest way. I do not like hard. I guess because I'm like, you know, just thinking about when I was younger and, you know, you have to work hard. You have to do this hard thing. And I'm like, no, but if I can find an easy way to do it and get to the same result, why can't we do that? So even today, we found like a faster way to work on our clients' accounts for their bookkeeping. So now our turnaround time is like 1 or 2 days instead of like 3 to 5 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's how I am. I'm like, I get to the results. I get to them fast because I know that's what you want. Right. And the thing is, people will pay you more for getting them faster results. And we also learn that as well. And so I want to end my day at 2:30 at 3 p.m. during the day.
I love that.
Look at my boy from school. So as fast as I can do things and quality work, of course, it doesn't compromise quality. Sign me up for that.
Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you about this epiphany I just recently had, and I'll podcast on this more. But, you know, there was a long time in my life where I got my value and worth from being the phoenix rising up from the flame. And I woke up to the fact that if that's how I get my worth, then I have to have flames to rise up from. And so that last near bankruptcy, starting a business without actually paying attention, or I got myself into a relationship that wasn't really healthy for either of us. And I was like, I'm done. I'm going to reap what I've sowed. But in recent conversations with my therapist, I realized, what if nothing is wrong? And this story that they tell me, something's wrong with my money, something's wrong with the system, something's wrong, is just another level of that story. And one of the epiphanies I had was that with money, when I have it, when I'm doing my budgeting well, and I don't budget, I aim to live simply and make it simple. But when it's not complex and I don't have to chew on my brain and use the system and 5 million spreadsheets and complicate it, it's almost like when it's too easy, I get bored and I have to make a mess with it. Yeah. To get back on track. And by the way, this is hot off the press, just last week, kind of epiphany. So it'll be interesting to see where it comes. But I'm curious, do you have anyone or have seen anyone that when it becomes so easy, they're so steeped in this story that it's hard, that muscle memory, it's almost like they blow things up just to have to think about it and just to worry about it. When in fact, the simplicity and then selfishly, I'm going to be 100% transparent. Like, how do you get them back to, it's okay that it takes 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be the thing you worry about and that keeps you up at night. It is okay. It's that simple.
Yeah. I find that, yes, we've had clients like that.
Oh, good. She's not looking at me horrified, for those of you on my podcast.
Absolutely. And so what we do is we kind of redirect them. And my son is autistic. My mom has been working with the special needs community for many, many years. You'll hear me using these terms. And so we kind of get them off of that. It needs to be hard. It needs to, like, we don't stay over there.
Yeah.
And so I'll be on a call with a client and they're like, oh, but I don't know what happened here. And I'm like, oh, so let me just quickly look at it for you. And then I've gotten to the point where I've been doing this for so many years. The solution, it comes to me in like 5 seconds, right? And I say, oh, this is what happened. Let's move this here. And we get back on track. If I stay off the track with them over there, it's going to be like 30 minutes of, you know, belly aching and kind of like going on about the hard thing instead of, oh, I know how to fix this. This is my jam. Let's get this over here. This is what happened. No worries. That's why we're here. You know, we'll get you back on track. And they go away so happy. And then they start telling the entire world how amazing we are and how amazing 5-Minute Bookkeeper is. And let me tell you, Sarah, I get that way too. I'm not quote unquote cured of the hard work mentality, right? I will, you know, think about it and I say, okay, I will say I'm taking a week off. It's tax season. It's, you know, crazy. And then I'm like, I'm taking a whole week off. I already start to worry about, oh my goodness, what if I am not on social media? You know, people are going to forget about me. Of course they're not. But it's like this thing where you're like, I have to keep showing up. I feel strange if I'm not doing something. And that's always been me as well. Like, I feel like I have to be doing something. And that's kind of how I've been successful as well, to be honest, is that I feel like when I'm doing something, I tell myself that, you know, oh, this is why, because I'm doing something. This is why I'm making money, or this is why this thing is going so well. And I feel like if I do nothing, then it's all going to like fall apart.
Yeah.
And then yeah. I prove to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a day instead of a whole week. I'm going to take a day and see if everything falls apart. And guess what? I take a day, everything doesn't fall apart.
Well, and here's the other thing that I'm taking away from my own journey, but I think you've also said it, is this idea, if money's hard and, you know, we have limited amount of decision making and energy, like science, there's scientists who've showed that, right? The more you simplify and make things easy, you know, you only can make 100 decisions a day, right? So if you have to decide about everything, so that's where things about kind of the clothing you choose or habits or stuff, it allows you more energy for the hardy things. And one of the things that I'm playing with is, if I make money hard and something that I have to chew so much energy on my brain, it takes away from, say, doing this podcast or the writing I want to do, or, you know, just because I'm not busy enough starting the photography shop that I want to do and play with fritter with photos for hours, right? And so I'm playing with, like, by removing the energy I'm putting to money and letting, I happen to do finance Fridays, and let the half hour that I spend, so you were saying half hour I spend on Friday, not take up the 2 hours, that's an hour and a half and energy I can apply somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the growth spurt that I'm playing with, is this idea of being able to, yeah, not overcomplicate it. And I think it's interesting you've said hard. I didn't think of it that way, but I think I got the same lessons. You know, do your time first in, last out in the office, work hard, and it's perpetuating a certain level of busyness, specifically for me around complexity around money, that makes me feel like, oh, I'm smart. I'm doing my finances. When in fact, it's in fact unsmart of me. And that the 5 minutes and then going off and doing the fun things is what smart people do with their finances.
Absolutely. Yeah. I absolutely believe that it doesn't have to be hard in order for it to be good, or in order for you to feel accomplished.
Yeah.
I think it also has an accomplishment piece in there as well.
Yeah. And so moving away from 5 minute bookkeeper and money, because you said it earlier, and I know you've said it before, life's still life's, and life is complicated. And you've alluded to something earlier about some health issues, and certainly don't want you to share any more than you want to my rich and wonderful audience of my mom and cat. No, just kidding to the rest of you. I'm so grateful for you. But this idea, like, I do think you evoke this joy, whether it's in bookkeeping and accounting, whether it's with your son, whether it's just in life and choices. And yeah, life keeps lifing. It's not a joy does not mean easy, blissful, everything comes easy. I would love for you to just share a little bit more of your current day life and perspectives. Because one of the things that I do believe, living stoked, as much as it evokes joy, isn't easy either. Sometimes it's counterculture. Sometimes it's standing up for what you believe in. Sometimes it's holding boundaries that people feel defensive or angry about, like whatever it is. I would love for you to share a little bit more about what's going on with you today and how you live your most joyful, your word or my word, stoked life. Because I'd never want to make it seem like living stoked is easy, because actually a life of agency and choice is not easy.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is that even though I say I'd love to go back to, you know, the way that I grew up and the blue zone kind of living and farm to table and, you know, eating healthier, all of that, because I recently was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition. And I know it's the environment, it's the what we're putting in and on our bodies and all of that. So I've always had that, you know, mindset. But now that I have this condition, I'm thinking, I definitely would love to do that one day.
Yeah.
My son, Brandon, is 12. He's autistic. And so it's not like I could like get up and move.
Right.
At the moment, my husband, Barry. And I still have a few things to think about, but you know, eventually that's my goal, is to get back to that kind of living. And it doesn't have to be like going back to Jamaica. It could be here, just a different way of life.
Right.
But I do find the joy in my daily life, Sarah, and really and truly. And I find that when I was little, and I think I've always been like this, I was always smiling, right? If you see me and I'm not smiling, something is wrong, because it's just who I am, right? And so I remember one day, I was about maybe 8 years old, 8, 9 years old, and we're, again, rural Jamaica, so we have like the water that you get from the fountain is like a pipe, we call it a stand pipe, right? So it's a big draw with like a pipe coming from it. And I was waiting my turn to drink water, and somebody said to me, "What are you smiling about?" I have no idea, Sarah. I was probably thinking about something, you know, whatever. And I was smiling, and I kind of like, I was jolted out of wherever I was. And I kind of felt like at the moment, I don't feel like it changed me because I still was that happy person, but it also kind of planted something in me and be like, I guess I shouldn't always be happy. Kind of went away really quickly. And I am that person today.
Mm.
I live the kind of life where I do not have a lot of stress. I do have a little stress with when you're a CEO of a business, I don't care who you are. There is some stress there, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of the way that I live, my relationships, very easy, very no stress. And if something is happening that's going to be, you know, having any kind of negative connotations for myself or my family, I kind of get rid of that. You know, there are boundaries that are put in place, and I focus on having joy, living in a joyful home, right? Wherever I go, I bring that with me as well. And something as simple as this, and that's not, it's as simple as I work out in the mornings, right? So with this condition that I have, I've always worked out, but, you know, consistently now I work out in the mornings. And I love to dance. And so almost every day, at least 5 days a week, I'm dancing. Because I'm working out and I'm dancing and I'm, you know, the music is loud. And usually I'm home by myself. Barry's at work. Brandon is at school. And I'm here. And even if they're here, still dancing, still working out, still finding joy in those things. Like, this is the thing that makes me happy. And so this is what I'm going to do. Unapologetically, of course. Because I feel like sometimes we feel that we kind of guilty. You know, oh my gosh, there's so many things happening around me, so many things happening in the world. How could I be joyful? How could I be happy? And not even realizing that you being joyful and you being happy is making a tiny change in the world, right?
Yes.
And so that's my thing. Like, we laugh a lot in my house. We joke a lot in my house. I told people that if I wasn't doing accounting and bookkeeping, I'd love to be a comedian. I might be joking. But yeah, I love to laugh and be happy and just think about that, you know, focus on that. There are other things that are happening. They will happen. You know, there are things that happen in our lives on the daily. But just focusing and being intentional about joy and happiness in our daily lives, it does wonders for us.
I love that. I teach a course. I've called it Manage Energy, Not Time, but everyone there comes and uses that phrasing. But the differentiator in the course is finding things that work for you that fill your tank. So, you know, dancing fills your tank. For me, hiking in nature fills my tank. They're both exercise and they're both great, but they're micro moments. And you know, have you ever read Animal Vegetable Miracle by Barbara Kingsolver? Well, it's my dream to have her on here. But it was a book about them moving from Arizona to the Appalachia. And for a year, they only made their own food or bought within 10-mile radius. But what I loved about the book is in the end, they would capture ways that even if you lived in an apartment, you could have a tomato plant and make your own tomato sauce because it's acidic enough. You don't have to have all the canning complex things that may be overwhelming. And it really taught me that, okay, I too, by the way, dream of, you know, that blue zone type of living, but I can have it here today simply in maybe it's just the herbs that I have in my garden or the one tomato plant that I can cultivate over the summer and such. And so that it doesn't, we can have that blue zone experience today in the way that makes sense and way that makes life work. And I think it goes back to that simplicity of, you know, 5-minute bookkeeper, that when you have the space and you keep it simple, you look at other ways to just keep it simple. And I love what you said about there's a lot going on in the world. I sometimes feel tension, like I should feel more angst, but I used to be a paramedic firefighter. Like if I fully took on the angst without having that positivity, I wouldn't be useful to anyone. It's that whole, you got to take care of yourself first before you take care of others. And you can have all the feels. You can have the concern and angst, and you can be joyful. Both can happen together. Well, I am so excited to have had you here. I've wanted to do this for a while. And again, in taxes, I was actually writing the title to this, Money, Tax Season, Joy, Oh My. Those aren't numbers and words that necessarily go together. So we'll figure out what to call it. But final question, what are you reading or watching these days? So I always start with the same question and end only because I love the answer so much and I get inspired. Yeah. Any books you're reading, by the way, they don't have to be business books or money books or anything. They can be completely ridiculous, but any shows, things that are inspiring you or that you're loving these days?
What I'm loving these days is I actually bought some manifestation cards by Rhonda Byrne, like an accompaniment to The Secret. Uh-huh. Huge law of attraction nerd, kind of, sort of. and I just see where it has worked in my life so much. So I read one of those every day. And then I have a book called Letting Go. I think it's called Letting Go. It's just like a random, you know, rom-com kind of book. I love rom-coms when I'm not doing any business stuff. So that's what it's on my list for after tax season. So next week, I'll be just doing absolutely nothing. I've worked up to a week. I've done one day, I've done a couple days, I've done 3 days. Next week, I'm definitely not doing any work, taking time off, resting my brain, resting my body, and just, you know, just doing random stuff like reading a rom-com.
Fantastic. And I might bug you later for the names and authors, because we will put them in our show notes for anyone. Anything we mention on here, you know, we want to both honor the artist and the writers or the creators of it. But frankly, it's we create a cool book list. So anyway, and then where can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at 5-Minute Bookkeeper. That's mostly where I hang out, or my Facebook page. I'm on there at facebook.com/NABarham.
Great. And we'll have those in the show notes as well. Well, Nicole, I love this conversation. I love what you're putting out in the world. I am so happy and validated that I'm not the only one that has some of these feelings that I have. I knew I wasn't the only one, or else you wouldn't have a job. But to find out that you're a kindred spirit in some of this anxiety and mess is even better. So I can't thank you enough. To our listeners, I am so grateful. I didn't mean to minimize you by referring to just my listeners of being my cats. I have more than that. And for each one of you, I'm grateful. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Put a review in would be great in podcast land, and share with your friends. So until next time, it's great having you here, Nicole. Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. Thanks so much for joining us for Live Stoked, Lead Stoked. We know you're busy, so it means the world to me that you'd spend this time with us. If you're interested in digging deeper on the topics discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for resources and links related to this episode. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you found this to be time well spent. Your support helps us immensely. Plus, consider leaving a review. They're like virtual high fives, and I appreciate every one of them. Finally, stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot us a message or a question. Your stories and experiences enrich the community we're building here, and you never know, your question may end up on a monthly Ask Me Anything. So until next time, keep subscribing, keep reviewing, and keep living your most stoked life. We'll be back with more inspiration, stories, and insights. See you then.